anyways, as you know what's going on, a lot of changes are going to be taking place, and some are going to maybe good, a lot may be bad. But again, we have to keep our focus on God. We got to keep our focus on the Lord, because man can plan, but God wills. God wills, and his plan is perfect, and his timing is perfect. And that's what I've been dwelling on, is his timing. And yesterday, as you know, I come in on Saturdays and I prepare for today throughout the week. But Saturdays mainly is the day that I put it all together. And so I was here this Saturday morning, and never in my lifetime as being in the ministry of coming here that I've never been so discouraged and so attacked, and had such a hard time to concentrate on what God wanted to do than yesterday. And it was heavy. I was here and I couldn't focus because of all the celebration, all the honking that was going. It was so loud. It was everywhere here in North Park, yelling and screaming. And yes, it was nonstop. And so I got up and I went to the youth room, and I looked out the window and seeing everybody. And I looked up and I said, God, I mean, this would be a perfect time for you to come back when everybody, when the scripture says they'll be marrying and what does the scripture say? Dining and eating and drinking and being merry. What a perfect time for you to come back. And I looked up and I'm saying, okay, I'm waiting for the trumpet over these horns. I'm waiting for that trumpet. And I realized, okay, God's saying, no, it's not the right timing. But I even shed a tear because I was just praying for God to be glorified and the people's lives would change. And seeing the cars go by, and I saw a big, and what really hit me was seeing this big truck, a big four-wheel drive truck with the American flag, and then the rainbow flag, and these men outside and dancing and screaming. And I thought, wow, Lord, we're in the end times.
Yes, we are.
How much more do we need to keep our focus on the Lord? In fact, the Word of God tells us that this is going to happen. It's not a coincidence. It's not like, wow, we're caught off guard. The Bible warns us. It tells us that this is what's going to take place in these last days.
We're not in darkness.
So don't be surprised when these things take place. But Peter said, take every opportunity, for the days are evil. Take every opportunity you can to get closer to the Lord and to tell others and to reach out in love. Now, I was out there. I was praying for them in love. I was, Lord, you love these people. It's not God doesn't love them. God loves them. He hates sin, obviously, and sin is sin to God. It's not like each of us say, oh, your sin is greater than my sin. You might think that, but God, sin is sin. It doesn't change. And so as I was sitting there, I came back and I said, okay, Lord, man, I can't do this. I had to get up and I had to leave. I packed up and I said, I'm going home because I cannot. This oppression came over me and it was this heaviness and just all that huge horns and celebration and everything. And so I went home. And so as I was studying at home, God changed everything. And I don't understand why he did this. And I'm going to share what he shared with me yesterday. And I don't know, maybe it'll make sense of what we're going through at this time with the election. As you know, Biden won the election. And people are saying, no, it's not over yet. It's not over yet. But I think it is. And I was thinking, Lord, maybe God wants him to step down. Maybe God wants us to get out of the way so he can now bring judgment on America. Judge America for all the things that it has been doing with the babies and the marriage and Israel and spiritual freedom. Maybe it's time that God's going to do something different. He's going to wake up the church. And I was thinking about this. I mean, we have so much corruption right now. And you may not agree with it, But there is a lot of ballot defraud and corruption. And the sad thing about it is I don't see anything happening. And that's the sad thing about it is that it may change. People think, oh, no, we still got time. And I pray that it will change and that deception and evil will stop. But the Bible says it's not. It's going to get worse. It's going to get worse. And so I think we just need to keep our focus on God. God's in, it doesn't mean God ain't in control. Whoever gets in is God's will.
Yep. Amen.
And it's for the purpose of what? For the elect's sake. He said that these days would be shortened for the elect's sake. You know, the shorter the, you notice how the days are getting shorter? We're already, it's going to be Christmas humbug next month. When it comes to Christmas, I'm the Grinch. Okay? I am. I like the holiday. I just don't like all the gifts, unless it's for me, I don't mind. But paying for them and everything, you know, is where did the year go? We're going to be in 2021 in 1 month. I'm going to be 61 years old on the 23rd of this month. Oh, my goodness. I'm ready to go be with the Lord. I think I'm the oldest one here. I think I'm the youngest one here. And, you know, where did it all go? God is in control.
Life is a vapor.
We don't know what God's plans are, but we get the opportunity to see prophecy, see the word of God come to pass. Amen. We're living it. We can see it. The writing's on the wall. It's actually the writing's in your lap, the word of God. It's there. Go ahead and open up your Bibles to 1 Samuel chapter 8. Maybe God's going to share something with you this morning regarding this chapter. And this is what God gave me. And I was thinking, okay, Lord, I want to get back to, we're going through Luke chapter 7. We still haven't finished it. We're almost in. I think one more day of service in Luke chapter 7 will be done. Next week we'll definitely be done. And that's what the plan was to come. And I was actually getting in, putting it all together, the rest of it and everything. And all this distraction was upon me, and I just couldn't do it. Went home, and this is what the Lord gave me. And you know the story well. If you read the Old Testament, the book of Samuel, you know the story when Israel wanted a king to rule over them. After being ruled for over 400 years by God and men and women that he chose to lead them in times and situations that they were going through. To want to get away from that and to want a man to rule over them instead. And I was thinking about this and I'm thinking, why would they even want that? After everything that you've done for them, everything they've gone through, and they literally saw the supernatural power of God moving. And then I realized why is because what was going on at that time with the church, with the leadership. You know, and I think, okay, Lord, I was reading it, and I thought, wow, you know what? We can almost put it right. This chapter, right? What's going on today? What's going on today? So let's look at verse 1. Let's read it. And Lord just bless it. Now it came to pass when Samuel was old that he made his sons judge over Israel. And the name of his firstborn was Joel. Now, his first son, Joel, his name means the Lord is God. I think that's a beautiful name, a meaning of a name. And I think it's what your name means is something that you have to live up to. Something that it tells about your character. It tells about who you are and where you came from and what your name means. Maybe something in your life that you did and your parents saw you and said, wow, I'm going to name him that. My name is Steve, Stephen, Stephen, Stevie. Carmen's husband, and it means crowned one. It means crowned one. And so I'm going to live up to that, being a crowned one, crowned by the Holy Spirit. I'm sealed by the Holy Spirit. That's my crown. And I think about my life. It fits perfect because in my life of the people that I shared the gospel and led to the Lord, I'm going to get a crown of soul winners. And sharing the gospel, the crown of sharing the gospel and the right and righteous living, not being righteous through my own righteousness, which you obviously know it's a filthy rag, but the righteousness of Christ and the different five crowns. But his name means the Lord is God. And then the name of his second son was Abijah, and which you don't have to correct me because I know I'm off. His name means my father is the Lord. You think they're going to live up to those names? You guys know what your name means? You know? And if you know what it means, does it share your character? Are you living up to that name? Are you living up to what people think you are or say you are? I mean, as a pastor, sometimes it can be difficult because people think that, hey, wait a minute, you're the pastor. You can't have problems. And you know why? That's why many pastors will not share what they really are going through because of the fear of being stoned verbally. And it's true. It is so true. As a pastor, sometimes it's hard to share what I'm going through. I just can't share it because I don't want to be condemned or think, wow, he shouldn't be up there already. He shouldn't be that pastor. We need to remove him. I always remember Mike McIntosh one time he shared with the leadership. He says he was in CVS, and this was way back in the 80s. And he shared, and I was walking through CVS, and I was over there by the magazines. And as I was looking at the magazines, I heard over the intercom saying, Mike McIntosh lusting in aisle 6. I can't remember the aisle. And everybody was laughing. And so he said he had to get out of here, he had to leave. And he thought this was weighing on him, it was bothering him, that he was feeling this way or what he was going through. And also the fact that in his home, he mentioned that one of his kids, he was having a hard time with one of his kids who was walking away from the Lord. And so he felt that. He got his elders and them together and said, hey, I need to step down because my home is not in order. And they said, no, you, it's not you. That's a choice that he makes. Sometimes as a pastor, we want to share our heart, but man, it's scary because if I share my heart, how are you going to accept that? I mean, how will you react to and that I juggle kittens? Rare, 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 you know? I told somebody that one time, and he was like, he thought it was real, but then I said, no, I'm just kidding. But again, their name means the Lord is God, and Father is the Lord. My Father is the Lord, and they were judges in Beersheba. Look at verse 3, but his sons did not walk in the ways of his father. They turned away after dishonest gain. They took bribes, and they perverted justice. Then all the elders of Israel gathered together, and they came to Samuel in Ramah. And they said to him, look, you are old, and your sons do not walk in your way. Now make us a king to judge us like all the nations. So up to this point, guys, Israel was ruled by a theocracy. That means they were governed by God. They were governed by men and women, godly men and women, who the Lord used to judge them and to watch over them and to speak to them. They were ruled over a theocracy, but mainly God was their judge. He was the one that was taking care of them. He provided everything that they needed, and it was the Lord who even made them a mighty nation when they came out of 400 years of slavery in Egypt. That's when they became a nation, when God took them out of Egypt. They became one. They became a nation, but it was God. But now, because of these circumstances, they went. They wanted to move from a theocracy to a monarchy. A monarchy is one who is a people who's ruled over by a man and not God. So they wanted to be ruled by a man. It's hard to comprehend that. Here you got God ruling over you. God, guys, they literally saw God's miraculous powers. They saw things that are very unnormal. supernatural. We're talking the Red Sea splitting. We're talking manna, rock, water from a rock, a fire fire and a cloud by day leading them. Every time it moved, they moved. When it stopped, they stopped. The walls of Jericho coming down. You know, we're talking some things that if we saw today, we only see it on TV, in the movies. And here they want to leave this theocracy, this leading of God and being governed by God to a monarchy of being ruled by a man. We want a man. And so here we see them asking for a man to take the place of God and to be their king and not God. But it's important that we look at the reasons why Israel was demanding a king instead of the Lord and Samuel governing over them. There's a reason why. And here we can see four reasons why. In the scriptures, they make it very clear. Now, look at the first reason. And you know what? I want you to try to think about the times that we're in today. Look at the first reason. In verse 1, it says, Samuel was old. I mean, if that's going to be any reason, I guess that might be a good enough reason. Samuel's age became a concern to the people of Israel. And it was a concern because Samuel had grown very old, and apparently they felt that at his age, it was beginning to affect his ability to lead the nation of Israel. And obviously the day is going to come when Samuel, you know, he's going to pass on and he'll go and he'll be with the Lord. And this became a big concern. And they began to fear that the nation might go back to being a nation of no judges and of lawlessness. So they wanted to make sure that this didn't happen. And they felt that a new leadership was needed. Samuel, you're old. You can imagine what Samuel felt, you know. I can relate to this. I really can. Because when I took on this ministry back in 2010, I think it was 2010, when we had our meeting, the first pastor left, the first thing that was said to me, you are going to get somebody younger to lead us, aren't you? And I thought, I didn't know. I really didn't know how to respond to that. But I can honestly say that I can relate to probably what Samuel felt but he's probably older because they lived longer back then. So I thought I was maybe in my prime as younger. I was younger. I mean, I actually had hair. I think I had a neck. Maybe not. I don't know. But that was one of the reasons. Why? Because they were concerned. Samuel, you're old. The second reason, look at verse 2. And it says, Samuel, it says that your firstborn sons, Joel and Abijah, again, Joel, which means the Lord is God, and his other son is my father is the Lord. He says, you put him into this judging position, and they're the judges in Beersheba, but they do not walk in his ways, and they turn aside after dishonest gain, took bribes, and perverted justice. I mean, if there's any reason why you would want a different leadership, this definitely would be the reason. Right here. I mean, there was a corrupt leadership, a corrupt judicial system. And this is exactly what we're seeing taking place right now, right before our very eyes, in our judicial system. I'm wondering, how are they getting away with this? How can America, we're America, the land of free. We're a liberty of other countries look up to us. They look up to us. And now they're looking down to us. And they're laughing, saying, oh, they're, you know what? Like I'm always saying that a nation cannot be destroyed until it's destroyed from within. A civilization, and that's exactly what's happening to our country. We are being destroyed from within. We can't be destroyed from without because obviously Trump didn't allow that. But from within it's happening. We're talking a corruption that, guys, whether you believe it or not, there is some ballot defraud going on.
Yes, there is.
And there's a lot of things taking place. I was reading about the felt pen markers that were given to many voters, purposely given to them. And when they voted, they took the markers away and they got rid of them. And all those ballots were rejected. In the many incidents of bags of ballots that are being found in the trash, and it's not being promoted by the media, obviously. It's not being shared. It's censored. Look at all the censorship that's going on by Google and Facebook, and that's why I don't have it no more. YouTube. It's happening. And my question is, how? We're America. Yeah, how can this happen? Because of those who are corrupt. I mean, it's happening back then. There's nothing new under the sun. It was happening back then. There was a corrupt leadership, Samuel's sons. They were corrupt. But, you know, I do want to, and they perverted justice, but I do want to encourage those of you parents here who have children that are not walking with the Lord, because we do have parents here. And I don't know if this is an encouragement or not, but I'm going to say it anyways. You know what? You're not alone. God knows what you're going through. Samuel went through it. Samuel was a godly man. He was a godly man, and his sons were corrupt. So don't think because your sons are corrupt that God thinks less of you, or maybe you didn't do something right. Because you're always, even myself, my children, I love them, and they're walking with the Lord. But I always think back and I say, I could have, would have, should have. Samuel, his sons were corrupt, and he was a godly man. Be encouraged that you're not, God knows, you're not the only one. And God, we have his promises. And because these two men who were corrupt were Samuel's sons. And Samuel, he was, like I say, he was a godly man. He was a God-fearing man. He was a prophet of God. He was a man that God used to judge over the people of Israel. That meant that his sons were raised up in a godly upbringing. But as we read about them here, we read that, you know what? They lived hypocritical lives. And they did not follow in the footsteps of their father. And they turned away from God and their father's upbringing. You know what they always say? That the worst kids are the leadership kids. And it's true. Every problem we had, it was with the leadership kids. Yeah, my son, he's laughing because he was part of that too. He's laughing. Especially the head pastor and the assistant pastor, man, we went through a lot with our kids. They're the worst. But they love God, and I pray for my kids and my grandkids every day. Every day. They love God. I'm going to be honest, I've been blessed. I've been blessed because with my three kids, being in the ministry, it was a hard thing to do, but I took my kids on every missions trip that we went on when they were young. We took them with us all over Mexico. I didn't exclude them. I took them on all our trips in Mexico. I took some of them to China. They went to Romania and so on, Africa. I made sure that they were part. I didn't exclude them, and I think that was very important. And I remember reading to my son the Bible when he was small. And I would pray over him. When I put him to bed, first I had to spank him because he wouldn't go to bed until he had a spanking. And then I put him to bed. I'd go over there, and I will always remember this. I was bending over him, and I was praying over him and asking the Lord, you know, his protection on him. And I was praying for him, and I was really in deep prayer. And when I opened my eyes and realized he had his eyes open, he was watching me. It was awesome. It was, I guess, it just, and I just remember giving him his kiss, and then I went to bed. But again, Samuel's kids, you know, they turned away from God, and they became greedy for money. We're told here they accepted bribes, and they ended up perverting justice. That meant when it came to judging over controversial cases, if they accepted that bribe to rule in favor of the guilty parties. We see that happening today. And so Israel felt that they were heading in that same direction that they were going through when Eli's two sons, Hophni and Phinehas, remember them? Eli, the high priest, his two sons, they were the priests, and he appointed them the priests of the temple. And Eli was old as well. He could barely see. And what his sons were doing is that they also, as priests, they too perverted justice. They perverted the worship of God. And they went even as far as to sleeping with the women when they came to worship the Lord in the temple. These are the high priests. So this became a fear for Israel. And so they desired a new leadership under a king and not the Lord. Israel was demanding a new system of government. I mean, this is something that we've been praying for our government. I don't know about you, but I was shocked that Trump lost. I really was. Yeah, well, yeah, we know he didn't. But we know he didn't. He didn't lose. But whether or not that's going to change, I don't know. But they were demanding a new system of government. Now we're going to have a new system of government. So what does that mean for us? That means we're going to have to change how we worship God and how we seek the Lord, how we read the Word of God, and how we praise and how we witness. We need to get busy. We need to do it more now. Because if you think it's tough now, guys, it's going to get tougher. They demanded a new system of government. Samuel, you're old. And here's where Samuel, he makes his first mistake because he appointed his two sons to take his place when they were not qualified to take his place. They were living sinful lives. They were not exhibiting godly character. They didn't even have the calling in their lives. Especially in the position that they were in, that they were placed in, they didn't have that calling. But because they were his kids, obviously, Samuel didn't see that. Samuel was an awesome man. He was a godly man. He was a man of prayer. He was a man of power, and the Lord was with him. But obviously, he didn't see what was going on with his kids. Maybe he just thought, hey, those are my kids. I'm going to put them. And, you know, that's the heart of a parent. I mean, when I left the youth group and became the head pastor, I anointed my son as the head of the youth group. The difference is, He's walking with the Lord. Samuel's sons weren't. That's the difference. That's why I put him in that position, because he does walk with the Lord. And you know, maybe it was because of their names. You know, again, their names, the Lord is God and my Father is the Lord. But they were far from living up to their names. So they became only a title. Let me ask you this. Are you a title this morning? Are you a Christian? What do you base the fact that you're a Christian on? Many people in other countries base Christianity on the fact that we're born in America. You're an American. You're a Christian. They already assume that. But there's a difference between Christian and Christian. Anybody can call themselves a Christian. In fact, we see that happening today. Those who are in the other party are calling themselves Christians. But my question is, are you a title or are you living up to the title? Are you living up to your calling? Are you a Christian? Are you Christ-like? Are you living up to your name or are you just a title? And then the third reason they wanted a king, look at verse 4. Then all the elders of Israel, they gathered together and they came to Samuel and they said to him, look, you are old. First reason, the second reason, your sons don't walk in your ways. The third reason is now we want you to make a king to judge us like all the other nations. So the third reason was so that they can be like the surrounding nations that they were looking to. I mean, it's easy to look at what's happening right now. Yesterday I was looking out that window. I was looking how bad it looked. And it's easy to get caught up into that. It's easy to get caught up in the, oh no, we're doomed. I feel like saying, oh, we're doomed. It's over. Turn out the lights. The party's over. It's just begun. You're going to have more time to witness and to share God's word than you have ever had now. Because you're going to be challenged. You're going to be challenged as a Christian. You're going to be challenged with the word of God. You're going to be challenged with all the values, with all the standards, with the leadership now, you are going to be challenged. And the question, are you ready for that challenge? Be ready. In fact, we're told, be ready in season and out of season. Be ready to give a word of your hope and your calling. It's coming. This, again, was one of another reasons why they wanted a king over them. But notice in verse 4, look what he says. When the elders of Israel gathered together, they came to Samuel in Ramoth. So the elders of Israel, they got together, they traveled here, and this is where they met Samuel, and they presented him with these three reasons for wanting a king over them. Well, Samuel, you're too old. Your sons don't follow after the Lord like you do, and make us a king to rule over us. But notice here in verse 4 where their focus and their emphasis was on and what it was not on. Notice what it says in verse 4. First of all, they demanded a king just like what? Like other nations. This is what their emphasis was on. This is what their focus on. We want a king over us like the other nations, like the Moabites, the Hittites, the Jezebites, the Hamanites, and the Adicites. And even the Egyptians, if they even had a king anymore, which they did, but it wasn't like before because God already took care of them. And look what their emphasis was not on. They didn't demand a king after God's own heart. It would have been different. I think it would have been different. Say, hey, God, hey, make us a king. Give us a king after God's own heart. But no. Give us a king after, like, so we can be like the other nations. And this is exactly what I, and I'm sure you saw, and many believers during this election today. This election. Because many Christians, many reasons why they voted for Biden and for the other party, their emphasis was on Trump's personality and not on God's values. So many believers demanded a new president because why? We like the other nation. We like the other party. We want a man who doesn't have a foul mouth. This is what I heard. Oh, he has a foul mouth. We want someone who has a better personality, but we don't care if this man who has a better personality, we don't care if he's killing babies inside and outside the mother's womb. We don't care if the marriage that God instituted is threatened or superseded, or that our children can be taught that they can have a choice to change their sexual identity. And the ones who is teaching them that they can are the ones who have changed it. And the limit to worship our God according to their standards and not according to God's commandments. Guys, pretty soon we may be looking at not being able to have church at all. And if you think it's not possible, be ready. Because already I just read that Biden's already going to reverse all the policies that Trump placed down. Pretty soon we might not even have a church. Or how about going against God's chosen Israel? Don't ever forget that the Lord said, I will bless those who bless you and I will curse those who curse you, Israel. People are saying, hey, we don't want Trump no more because he has a foul mouth. He doesn't act like how a president should have acted. He curses on TV. I know, I heard it too. I'm shocked as you. I didn't like it. We want a new president to rule over us. And we don't care what he stands for as long as he looks good. You know what? Israel should have desired a king who had a heart after God. A king who was totally and wholeheartedly committed to God. This should have been their focus. This should have been their emphasis on God, on his values, on his standards, his morals, his... But instead, they emphasize a king just like the other nations. That's what I based my vote on. I based my vote on, not on Trump. I based it on God's values, on his standards, yeah, on his morals. Yeah. That's what I based it on. It's like what Pastor Gary said. If it was based on a personality value, then yeah, Biden should win. He has a better personality, right? Like he said, he looks like a great grandpa. You know? Yeah. But it's based on God's values. And they wanted a king after like the other nations for over 200 years before they were asking for a king. Did you guys know that the Lord already planned to give them a king? It was already planned out. It was planned out, and you can read it in Deuteronomy 17, Genesis 49, Numbers 24. It was already planned out. So their desire for a king, it wasn't wrong. God himself already made values. He made standards in the law of God for the appointment and the rule of a king over his people. He already did that. And that king was going to be who? And before that, David. Wasn't David called a man after God's own heart? What was wrong with Israel's request for wanting a king? Well, we can honestly say, first, God's timing for a king over Israel, it wasn't time yet. God already planned, he's going to do it, but it wasn't time yet. And secondly, it was their motives and their purpose for wanting a king. They wanted a king just like the other nations, not a king whose heart's after God. There's another reason. Guys, God's timing is perfect, right? You got to think about that in this time that we're in and what's going on in this election, what happened in this. That's God's timing. If Trump is to step down, it's God's timing. And when we get ahead of his timing, things seem to go bad. I think Moses is a good example of that. Remember when Moses, when he had his encounter with the burning bush, he went to Egypt and he saw two of his Hebrew brothers there and they were arguing. First, he saw one being beaten. He killed the Egyptian. And he went over, hey, brothers, why you broke them up? Why are you fighting? You know, you're brothers, and you shouldn't be fighting one another. What they say, hey, who made you judge over us? Are you going to kill us like you did the Egyptian? Oops. How did they find out? So they rejected him. And then the Egyptians wanted to kill him. So he had to leave. He had to leave. And you know why? Because it wasn't God's timing for him to kill an Egyptian. Why? Because God wanted to kill all the Egyptians. Not one. Hey, Moses, I didn't come out here to kill one. I'm going to wipe out the whole entire army. That's what you're going to wipe out. It didn't work out. God's timing is perfect. It's perfect. And when you get ahead of it, guys, be careful. Things go bad. Their eyes and their heart were focused upon the world and upon its ways instead of God and his ways of what? Righteousness and holiness and obedience. These are things we got to look out for, especially in this time of age. Man, you know how mad I can get. I find myself getting mad when it comes to people, you know, we're talking, especially when they talked about my president, you know. And again, not the man, but the fact that he's the president, you know. And I'm looking at the values. When they talk about those values, oh, man, I was getting the flesh and I had to take my eyes off. Stop seeing these things through my eyes and see them through God's eyes. And their interest in the things were in the things of the world and not interest in a man whose interest is on being a godly ruler or spiritual leader. You know what? Yes, Trump might have had a foul mouth, guys, and he did curse, and he did make mistakes, and he was warned. He was told many times, and he had godly men and women praying over him. And I'm sure they were giving him counsel. He wasn't perfect. But nevertheless, he exalted Jesus. He exalted Jesus, national live TV. In Israel, and the vice president also prayed, national live TV prayed, not for politics, but for the country. And not once did I hear the other side do that. Not once. No. I did hear him exalt Muhammad. Yeah. Not once did I see them praying. Opening up. In fact, when they opened up their time to start their campaigning, they had a guy who did the Pledge of Allegiance, and he took God right out of it. Yeah. He took God out of it. He says, one nation, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Hey, wait a minute. It says one nation under God. Guys, you got to be ready. And I'm not here, don't get me wrong, I'm not here. I'm not promoting a man, I'm promoting God's values. Israel wanted a king like the other nations and not a king just like God. Look at verse 6. But these things displeased Samuel when they said, give us a king to judge us. And so Samuel prayed to the Lord. And the Lord said to Samuel, heed the voice of the people and all that they say to you to do. For they have not rejected you, Samuel, but they have rejected me, that I should not reign over them, according to all the works which I have done since the day I brought them up out of Egypt, even to this day, with which they have forsaken me and served other gods, and so they are doing to you also. Now, therefore, heed their voice. However, you shall solemnly forewarn them and show them the behavior of the king who will reign over them. I mean, it displeased Samuel. Samuel wasn't happy with the request. Why? Well, first of all, he told them that they were too old. Hey, you're too old. Nobody wants to hear that, especially when you're old, right? I mean, you guys are, ladies, especially ladies, you won't tell me your age. If I ask you, hey, how old you are, you come on, how many of you say 29? Yeah. You know, I'll let you get away with it, though. I'm not going to say, hey, lie. I don't want to get in trouble. It's where you don't want a bunch of angry women chasing you. But he wasn't too happy with the fact that they said, Samuel, you're too old. I know how that feels again. And they told him, hey, not only did they tell me he was too old, he wasn't happy with the fact that they said, your kids are bad, Samuel. No parent wants to hear that, right? Not one of us. Not even a grandparent. Even though it's true, we don't want to hear it. Sometimes we can be in denial of that fact. And sometimes we listen to them when they are guilty, but they have that way of just with those their eyes and they, oh, yeah, I think he's not guilty, you know. They just know how to do that. So that's my one of my granddaughters. She is so good at that, Gia. She can melt me when she talks to me sometimes. She'll come up and says, give me your phone. And I'm like, busy. And she'll look at me and I'm, boom. Just something about it. I don't know what it is, you know. But again, Samuel didn't want to hear that his kids were bad. And then he didn't want to hear that they wanted to be like other nations. Be like the Moabites, the Hittites, all the other Tites, and even like the Egyptians. Even when you're wrong about your kids, Samuel, which he was, you should have listened to him. You should have listened. So the Lord told Samuel that their demands for a king was for what? Because they're forsaking God. They're forsaking his authority here in these verses. And his rule over Israel. And then in verse 8, this is exactly what the scriptures say. Look at verse 8. He says, according to all the works which I have done since the day that I brought them out of Egypt, even to this day with which they have forsaken me and served other gods, so they are doing to you also. Think about this. Their demand for a king to rule over them, it actually caught Samuel off guard. I think it surprised him. I think he had no clue that they were going to ask for a king to rule over them. So what Samuel was feeling is that what they had done is they had rejected his leadership. I mean, if you came up to me and told me these things, I would think, oh, wow, I'm being rejected. But I have. People have told me certain things that I felt, well, and they have left, and I felt, well, it was because of me. I took it personal. My first sermon, the guy came up to me, and you know what? I thought you were very boring. How do you react to that, right? How? Wow. You know what I did? I said, thanks. And I just walked away. But you know what? The Lord didn't let him rest. Next Sunday, he came back. He said, you know what? I need to talk to you. And I thought, oh, no, here we go. Already had him judged, convicted. And he came up. He says, I have to apologize to you. When I got home, the Lord convicted me big time. Big time. I am so sorry what I said. I said, you know what, brother? I said, I wasn't boring. I said, you thought the word of God was boring because that's all I did was share scripture. So you thought God was boring, not me. So I made him feel bad. But their demands caught Samuel off. He wasn't expecting to do that. So he was probably feeling that they had rejected his leadership. So what did he do? Samuel went to seek the Lord in prayer. That's what we have to do, guys. What's going on, the change of leadership, is we have to seek the Lord in prayer. You don't stop praying. Pray for change. Pray that justice will come to pass. If not, pray for the new president. Pray that he gets born again. Pray that he gets saved. Pray for them. We got to pray for their success. This is what I told people about Obama when he got president. I said, hey, we need to pray for his success, that he'll make America great. And this is what we got to do. So when Israel told him that they wanted a king, if that was a big surprise to him, what the Lord told him must have really thrown him off or really shocked him. Because look at verse 9. God says in verse 9, hey, Samuel, go ahead and therefore listen to their voice. Heed their voice. What? Samuel probably was surprised that the Lord told him that. God instructed him to do what the elders requested. Give him a king. And the fact that God reassured Samuel that the people were not rejecting him here, rejecting him in this verse, but God himself, I think it made it more easier for him to follow through and to get them a king. Okay, remember, Samuel, they're not rejecting you, they're rejecting me. Go give them a king. Wow, okay, I feel better now. I feel better. It's not because of my preaching. It's not because of my ministering. I'm going to go get him a king. And look what the Lord said in verse 8. He says, according to all the works which I have done since the day that I brought them out of Egypt, even to this day, with which they have forsaken me and served other gods. So again, we see Israel here. We see everything that the Lord has done for him, how when he delivered them from Egypt, when the Lord brought them out of slavery. And now they're doing it once again. They are rejecting their deliverer. They're rejecting the one who protected, who provided them out in the desert. They're rejecting their Savior. And they forgot that covenant that the Lord made for them through Abraham. He made a covenant. Say, hey, I'm going to take care of you. And I'm going to provide for you. I'm going to give you a promised land. I'm going to give you a promised Messiah, a promised son, and a promised heaven. They forgot about this. He would have taken care of them if they would have believed and obeyed him and remembered. But here again, once more, I mean, there's nothing new, guys. We go through the same thing. They're ready to break their covenant with the Lord in order to what? Make an agreement with a king just like the other nations? Forgetting how many times the Lord has saved and delivered them from the past, and forgetting how he constantly provided for them throughout their lives, and now they want to lead their theocracy and be governed, their governing of Samuel in the name of the Lord, to a monarchy, which is being ruled by a king, a man? Man, what's going on in your mind? What's going on in your mind? I mean, we always say this. If I was back there and I saw what they saw, I would never turn from God. And I look at them back there saying, hey, you know what? If I had the Holy Spirit living in me, I would never turn my back on God. It goes both ways. Nothing new under the sun. Man, have a king rule over them. I think it might have worked. Again, if their motives and purposes wasn't to be like the other nations, if it was to be like a king after God's own heart, it would have worked. And obviously it did. David came on the scene. He blew it. Thank God he blew it. You know what I mean? I don't want to thank God he blew it, but you know what I mean? It makes me feel good knowing that the men and women of the Bible had faults. They had faults just like us, and some of them were worse than us. And yet their names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life, and so is ours. We're going to end up here. Look at verse 10. So Samuel told all the words of the Lord to the people who asked him for a king. And he said, this will be the behavior of the king who will reign over you. Okay, now here comes the consequences then. If you want a king over you, Samuel, tell him what the consequences are. Here we go. He says, you're going to get a king reign over you, and he will take your sons, and he will appoint them over his chariots and to be his horsemen, and someone run before the chariots. He's going to take your sons away, and he's going to enslave them to be his guards, the royal guards in the palace. They're going to take care of the horses, the chariots. They're going to take care of all the war machines, everything. And he says, and he will appoint captains over his thousands and captains over his fifties. And he will set some to plow his ground and to reap the harvest. And I'm going to take your son. He's going to take your sons and he's going to make them hard labor. They're going to tend the fields. They're going to have to be gardeners. And they're going to have to remember that we're talking a great demand of produce and great demand of weapons for the entire nation of Israel. And he says, and I will appoint them. And he says, I'm going to make some and some to make weapons and wars and equipments of for his chariots. In verse 13, look what he says. Oh, this is as a father. No, I don't think so. He says, I will take your daughters to be perfumers. Ladies, what's a perfumer? I mean, I think he wants to have them in the courtyard to make the place smell good. Maybe they're to make lotions and stuff like that, I think. Making perfume. You know what? That's awesome, man. Because, you know, sometimes I come, I talk to some of you guys, and you smell good, you know. I'm going to take your daughters to make the place smell good. And I'm going to make them cooks and bakers. And he will take the best of your field and your vineyard and your olive grove and give them to his servants. Again, he's gonna take away the very best of all that you have. And he will take a tenth of your grain and your vintage, and he will give it to his officers in the service. He's going to bring on this taxation. He's going to tax. He's going to take. And he will take your male servants and your female servants, your finest young men and your donkeys, and he will put them to his work. He's even going to take your animals. And he will take a tenth of your sheep, and he's going to, again, make another taxation when it's needed. When, hey, we need more money. Come on, let's go out and tax them. Let's take a tenth of what they have. And you will be his servants. And you will cry out in that day because you're a king whom you have chosen for yourself. And the Lord will not hear you in that day. Wow, here's the warning of them having a king over that God has given over them. And the Lord told Samuel, tell Israel all these consequences are going to take place. And it's going to happen. And it's interesting that the Lord told them beforehand what would take place, and they still wanted a king over them. Now, what if I told you that, hey, you know what? If you come into this building, I'm going to empty all your pockets. I am going to take your green. I'm going to take your coins. I'm going to take your car if you come in this building. Would you come in the building? Hello? And, you know, yeah. Hey, this is what's going to happen if you want a king. And what happened? What did they say? Not only did they said, no, we want a king. They just didn't say, they yelled it out. No, we want a king over us. God told them before it was what would happen, and they still, that's crazy. That's crazy. But you know what? This is what the Word of God has for us. We read it. We know when we disobey God, we know what's going to happen. And yet you're doing the same thing. We do the same thing. I blow it. And God says, don't blow it. Yes, no, but I'm going to blow it. Why? Because Christians aren't perfect. They're forgiven. I believe that. But I don't want to use that as a cop-out. Because sometimes I can use that as a cop-out to what? To justify my sin. I can take the Word of God and justify my sin, justify my actions. Because why? God's a God of grace. God's a God of love. God, you hear it all the time. If God's a God of love, why would he throw people into the pit of hell? Or God is not, go ahead, do what you want. You know, live your life in sin. Do all you want because God is a God of love and he will not throw you into hell. God is a God of love and grace and mercy, hope, joy, peace. But also, he's not mocked. What a man soweth, that's what you're going to reap. I mean, he told them everything that was going to take place. Exactly. And he says, when you cry out on that day when this happens, he says, I'm not going to hear you on that day. Why? Because it's going to be too late. And he's going to allow them to continue in the way that they chose to go. Because that's called free will. God's not going to force you. I wish you would. Guys, I wish I didn't have my free will. I really do. I wish God would force me to worship him. But if he did, what kind of relationship would I have with God? I think the best way to explain it is this. I know a lot of you want husbands and wives. Okay, if you can choose any woman or any man to be your husband and wife, and it was made to happen, that husband or that wife will have to love you. Why? Because they have to, not because they want to. And every time you go into your husband or your wife and to show affection and love, they're going to say, well, I have to, not because I want to. Is that the type of marriage you want? That they're with you only because they have to, not because they want to? God wants, we're married to God, but he wants us because we want to, not because we have to. We want to. I want to. So again, in verse 19, look what it says. Nevertheless, the people refused to obey the voice of Samuel, and they said, no, but we will have a king over us, and that we will also be like the other nations, and that our king may judge us and go out before us and fight our battles. And Samuel heard all these words of the people, and he repeated them in the hearing of the Lord. And the Lord said to Samuel, heed their voice, make them a king. And Samuel said to the men of Israel, every man go to his city. Man, tragically, you know, Israel refused to listen to Samuel and the warnings that the Lord set down on them, the circumstances and the consequences. And they were made accountable to the consequences. It's not like they didn't know, oh, we didn't know this was going to happen. God told them it was going to happen. And they shouted out and said, no. And by saying no, they refused to continue under the authority of God alone. And they wanted a king to rule over them. And they wanted to be like a man. They wanted a man to be the one that would deliver them from their enemies, to be that savior, that protector, that provider. Everything that the Lord was to them in that time, and he still is today. And they were ready to make a covenant and an agreement with the man and forget their covenant with God. But Samuel did all he could. He went before the Lord. He was seeking his will. And the Lord commanded the prophet to give them a king. Grant their request. And Samuel sent the leaders home. Go home, man. It's going to be done. And you can read the rest. But I'm going to say this, guys. In the times that we're in, seek the things of God. Pray. Don't stop praying. We're going through a spiritual battle. It's a spiritual warfare, guys. It's not carnal. We're going to lose in the flesh. We have to fight this battle in the spirit. And we need to pray. And we need to keep our eyes on the Lord. And remember all the things that God has done for you. Is he going to stop doing them? No. He's just going to change the way he works sometimes to the times that we are in. Where, hey, our citizenship is in heaven, so it don't matter. Do whatever the world wants to do, do it. I live in heaven. I'm going home to be, I'm an alien. Yeah. I am an illegal alien. Because I have a driver's license. No, because my citizenship is heaven. That's what the Bible says. It calls it, you're an illegal alien because your citizenship is in heaven. That's what the Bible says. I'm not adding those words. It's in the Bible. So look up, for your redemption draws near, and pray. And don't be discouraged. And just remember, we already have the victory. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Father God, we do thank you for your word. And Lord, thank you for your examples. And Lord, be with us. We do pray, Jesus, that you give us strength. Lord, that we will not forget how you took us out of our Egypt. All the miraculous miracles that you did for us. And we pray that you would bless us, Lord. And we do pray for the leadership that's coming up. We pray for their salvation. We pray that all those godly values and morals and standards would not be effective. Lord, that the church would not be effective. Our freedom and the Constitution would not be changed, Father, and that corruption would be revealed. Lord, we pray that you would reign in the name of our God, the name of Christ, the name of Jesus, will continue to be lifted up in the government. And so, Lord, do a miracle and let it be right before our very eyes. And we give you the glory and honor. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said, why don't we stand?